WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, no, the Eagles really held on to the ball for, like, most of the first half, so it didn't really give Mahomes an opportunity to get the numbers. He had less than 100 passing yards entering halftime, and it wasn't even his fault. So it wasn't the 300-yard-plus masterclass, but he got the three touchdowns, insanely efficient, had the huge run at the end of the game. He played about as perfect as you could have hoped for him.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. I thought Mahomes played well. I thought it was a good game, and it is a good start to a career. I don't know. I think we got to talk about that holding call at the end.
Oh, 100%.
Look, I liked what Pat McAfee said, right? Probably it is holding by the letter of the law. It's probably not an incorrect call. But at that stage of the game, to win the Super Bowl, I just don't think it should have been called. Because there are other points where it's like, yeah, you could see it and not call it. And that's pretty consistent with what's happening this season. It's not like every time there's a little tug, you throw the flag. Because holding's every play. You can call holding pretty much every play and probably be right. So I don't know if at that stage, at that moment, it should have been called. I'd like to hear your opinions.
Yeah, I get that viewpoint. I'm actually in the minority that didn't really have a problem with that being called. Just because, like before I even got on Twitter and saw everybody's going crazy, I just literally looked and I was like, oh, yeah, he held him. Like, dang, like, that kind of sucks for the ending. But I was like, I mean, seemed like a holding to me. And then I go on Twitter, everybody's going insane over it. And I was like, what's happening here? And, like, I can understand, like, at that point of the game. But, like, I think you still got to call the penalty. Yes, it was more on the soft side. But if I was an Eagles fan, I would probably be outraged. But as a neutral fan, who really didn't have, you know, I didn't really have my full stock in one team. I was just trying to watch a good game. And I saw that, I was like, yeah, like, that sucks, but, like, I would have probably called it too. So, but I'm in the minority in that, so.
You're definitely in the minority in that.
Yeah.
If you don't call that penalty the entire game, why call it right then? Or why call it right there?
It just seemed weak.
It was very weak.
It was definitely on the weaker side. I will agree to that.
And even Bradberry came out and said, hey, yeah, like, I did tug on his jersey, and I hope that nobody called it. But
I bet you could have said that about 8 other plays that game, as could pretty much every other corner.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
That's
definitely.
What
I also saw a lot of Kansas City fans were talking about the Dallas Goedert catch. They were saying that was not a catch.
That was so not a catch.
You remember when he was on the sideline?
Yeah.
So this is a big grievance I have with the NFL and football in general, is I think they take replay way too far. Way too far. That was a catch. I don't care how you spin it. I don't care if I don't really care. That was a catch. In my opinion, like I can see how it wouldn't be a catch. By the rule, it wouldn't be a catch.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have control with both his feet in bounds. However,
I thought he did.
Actually. I will argue he had control with his like tippy toes dragging the sideline and his left foot was in bounds and his right foot was like dragging the ground. I think that's when he had control.
And
but,
because they ruled it a catch on the field.
Yes.
I thought there was an indisputable. It was like split second. Like, yeah, he might have had it.
Yeah,
and if he might have had it, you got to say it.
Yes.
It upholds.
And that's where I come in with this point is I do not think that if you slow every catch down at some point in that catch, you're going to go, oh, did he have possession of it? Oh, you have to look at it in real time instead of slowing it down and seeing all that. I think they take it too far sometimes, and that was one of the catches where I think they took it too far. Same thing with this with the Devontae Smith on the sideline when they called that a no catch.
I think that was a no catch, actually. I think the refs called those two catches correctly. Personally.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, because, well, for the Devontae Smith catch, you could clearly see once you got the angle that the ball
he didn't survive the ground, which is, like, people like to say, oh, well, it doesn't, like, if that was in the end zone, it would have been a touchdown, like, but they don't actually understand, like, they do call it. Like, it doesn't matter. Just because you touch out of bounds doesn't mean the process of a catch is over. And
yeah.
I like how they do that because it makes it so catching a ball in the middle of the field and catching a ball as you're going out of bounds are the same regulations.
Interesting. That's a good perspective to have.
Because Kelsey had a similar catch, but he actually had his arm under it and the ball did not move at all. So he had total control.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just like that's just pretty much based on, like, the skill of, like, the receiver. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, not just being able to catch, but being able to hold on, being able to hold your control. So I think, I mean, I like that rule in the sense that it really takes a great receiver to, like, be able to maintain all those. So
very true. I mean, I didn't think about that perspective. That's a good perspective to have if you have to take into account the middle of the field. If, you know, if that catch was in the middle of the field, he goes down, he hits the ground, the ball pops out, it's not a catch. So I didn't think about that. What about the it was called a fumble on the field for a touchdown from Miles Sanders when he had that screen pass and the dude came in and lit him up. Do you guys think that was a fumble?
No. I think it was a complete pass.
That was incomplete.
Yeah, because, he literally caught the ball and, caught the ball, his feet planted, and then he got popped.
Mm-hmm. Either three steps or football move. Neither of those happened.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It would have been really cool to see Nick Bolton have his second touchdown because that would have put him in Super Bowl MVP conversation.
Which 100%. Sweet. Who been was hilarious. The MVP? Was it Mahomes?
Huh? Yes.
Who was the MVP?
It was Mahomes.
Which was deserved, I thought.
Right. This man gets everything. God.
I mean,
he deserved it, but still.
Yeah, no receiver popped
three
off.
Three touchdowns, 182 yards.
Kadarius Toney almost implemented himself in that, which is crazy because I've always been a massive Kadarius Toney fan just because he's a goofy persona and he has insanely high upside but has been kind of crappy so far, just littered with injuries. And he had his moment, and it was really cool to see because, he's been looked at as a major bust because he was taking pick 19 to the Giants and was traded for a conditional third and a sixth. And him having his touchdown and then having the Super Bowl record for punt return, almost had the second touchdown. That would have been crazy. But he really – I think he was a catalyst of the game, and had he not played, I think the Eagles would have won.
I think you should have got
him. I wasn't going to say that. Different point. Had he run that into the end zone, there's a much bigger chance the Eagles would have won that game.
Because they get so much more time.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. And they get their timeouts because they spent a bunch of their timeouts trying to stop him. Yeah. And then they had the holding penalty, which killed him. So.
Yeah, good point. I will say this. I think Kadarius Toney should have gotten it. Even with not getting that touchdown, just because he's the one that gave them the fumble return for a touchdown, right? Or is that a different guy?
What?
Who scooped the ball up after Jalen fumbled it? Nick Bolton?
Yeah, Nick Bolton.
Okay. Kadarius Toney had that punt return, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was that's what really have them won the game, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That's what really put them in the position to win the game. And also the refs should also get MVP for that game because that call, man.
I thought it was a pretty clean game for the most part.
It was a really clean game.
So, I mean,
I will say this. I will go on record saying this. The Eagles did not lose that game because of the refs. They lost the game because they're a one-dimensional offense.
I wouldn't even say that. They put up 35 points.
Yeah, it was.
It was their defense.
Yeah, no, I watched a film study over this game on Monday. And I think you really have to applaud Andy Reid for the second half adjustments because the Eagles, they're known for running the ball, and they could not run the ball in the second half, and the Chiefs are known for passing the ball. And what the Chiefs did was ground and pound. The Chiefs ran better than the Eagles. Mm-hmm. And if you would have told me Josh Pate of 24/7 Sports, he's a college football analyst, and he says he says there's padlock stats to every game to where if you gave me this specific stat, that's all I need to know to predict a win. And I think the Chiefs outrunning the Eagles in the second half is the padlock stat that you need because the Eagles could not get the ground game going, in which they are known for. The Chiefs' D-line was really holding up, and they had to make Jalen throw, which Jalen played absolutely phenomenal.
He played out of his mind.
Phenomenal.
He did really well.
He was the most valuable player on the field. The Chiefs were able to just – they did what they wanted to do, and the Eagles couldn't stop them. And – it just really showed how much of a genius Andy Reid is, and the adjustments were absolutely amazing.
Well, the reason I say that the Eagles are one-dimensional is Jalen Hurts had three rushing touchdowns and one passing touchdown. Nobody else had a touchdown that was rushing. Nobody else had a rushing touchdown. You can't do that. Your quarterback can't be your entire run game.
Yeah.
And that would be my only complaint, is that Miles Sanders didn't get anything going. Kenneth Gainwell didn't get anything going at all. And then Boston Scott, one of my buddies had a bet that he would have more than 10 yards. Dude ended with 8 yards. It kind of sucks for him. But
yeah. I hear you, but I think it was just because their quarterback sneak was so efficient.
Yeah,
they were very so true. Good.
Every single time you knew very it was coming, true. And they still got it because that, right. that Eagles O-line just plowed through.
Yeah.
And it was really cool to see because nobody does that anymore. Like, it's yeah. cool to really see the trench battles. And, yeah, you knew exactly what the Eagles were going to do, but you couldn't stop it. So, yeah.
Good point. I'll give you guys that. I will retract my statement of their one-dimensional offense.
I mean, they got the passing game going. I mean,
they got the long ball going.
Yeah.
That's what they got.
Yeah, and, like, AJ on, which it was an all right ball. But AJ did an amazing move. He actually looked up early to fake out Trent McDuffie and wow. then sprinted around him. That's how he got that touchdown.
Mm. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, and then Devontae had that crazy grab at, towards the end of the game, which I actually had. I had a $10 to win 100 parlay, and that saved me because I had Jalen Hurts under 1.5 passing touchdowns, and when he went out of bounds, that saved the parlay.
Hmm.
So
you had under 1.5 passing touchdowns?
Yeah, because I was expecting like a 2 rushing, wow. 1 passing touchdown game, and I got 3
maniac.
Rushing, 1 passing.
Well, let's see which one of us actually got something right about this game. None of us predicted the score right. Kaysen obviously predicted who won.
Chiefs by 3.
He also got predicted he did not predict that the TikTok guy would get a touchdown. Like, you got that
wrong. I was
wrong.
Hoping for a Juju touchdown, but he lit it up in the second half.
He did
really
do
came
very
alive.
Well.
Because he didn't do anything in the first half, and they found him for, like, 3-4 plays in a row on that one drive, and he was a leading receiver in, like, from the late third to the fourth quarter.
Yeah. He did do well. He just didn't get a touchdown.
Yeah.
That was one of your bets. You also bet 300-plus passing and 3.5 touchdowns for Mahomes.
Got like
didn't happen.
Little under 200
he got
touchdowns.
Half of that. He got half of that in passing yards. But you did get this right, too. It was Mahomes' legacy game. I think this was the game that people are going to look back and they're going to see who won, how they won, and with what they won, the weapons that he had. You know, they're going to look back and they're going to see this and they're going to go, dang. Mahomes actually did do very well.
I mean, the Eagles, this Eagles team, I think, will be remembered as one of the best rosters ever constructed. Like, name a weakness. Name a weakness in the roster. They don't have
linebackers.
One. Yeah. Linebackers, they have N'Kobe Dean. Who else they have? I actually don't really know. But the thing is,
I get what you mean, though.
Yeah,
playing devil's advocate, the linebackers.
I would still say it's above average.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
people
I mean,
would kill to have their linebacking core.
Yeah, I would have loved to have N'Kobe Dean in the second round. And he fell to the third just because of his shoulder surgery. Well, his lack of shoulder surgery,
yeah.
which pushed him from a late first all the way to the third because that's going to significantly shorten his longevity in the NFL. If he like tweaks it again, but like they were just so loaded. They have all pros on both sides of the ball. They had all pros on all three levels of defense.
And they had a Kelsey brother.
Yeah, they had a Kelsey yep. brother. And like
this year, that seemed to be the key
yeah.
to getting to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and Jalen Hurts had his breakout this year, in which like you can make the argument that yes, he's surrounded by weapons, but so was Tua. And Jalen looked so much better with his weapons than Tua did.
So is Josh Allen.
Yeah. And, I think Jalen's going to earn himself a paycheck upwards to $50 million. But I think them losing the Super Bowl is really going to hurt them because they needed – if they were able to win now, then they take a little fall. It's like, we still won it. But now you're the team that didn't win it, and I think they're going to be set back a little bit because they have to release guys and trade guys because they can't pay them.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're one of the guys who needs to get paid on this team, do you take a pay cut to potentially go back to the Super Bowl, or do you go chase the bag?
Chase the bag. I mean, that's how most of these guys are. This is their job. This is how they put food on the table. This is they're thinking about their futures. It's very rare that a guy will take a pay cut because Brady was able to because his wife made his ex-wife made twice as much as him. So like money wasn't short, and he also had his own business later in his career.
Multiple businesses.
Yeah, exactly. Like
yeah, he's got that deal with Fox
now. Exactly. TB12 is massive, but these guys. Who a lot of them came up from nothing. You see the extra $5 to $10 million, you're going after that regardless. So it's very rare that a guy turns down money. Like Devontae turned down a little bit more money from the Packers so he could be playing in Vegas, which is where his family was close to. So that was like the biggest thing for him, is that he wanted his family to be at all of his games.
That's a good point. Personally, me, I would take the chance to go back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I would take that.
Depends how rich you already are.
Yeah. No, it definitely does. And I mean, me coming out of college, assuming I maybe got drafted a free agent, whatever, however I'm on this team, if I'm not a starter and I'm making like 100K, bro, you're already not going to get signed by another team because you're not that good. But if you're like A.J. Brown and you need another contract, I don't know what his contract is, but let's just say A.J. Brown. If you're A.J. Brown, you need money.
4 years, $100 million.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not A.J. Brown that needs to be re-signed.
We couldn't pay him.
Well, true. And apparently you guys might lose Ryan Tannehill too.
Thank God.
Because the Jets might be looking at him.
Bye-bye. get that $30 million contract off of him, please.
I bet the Broncos are scratching their head like, dang, I wish we'd get rid of this contract.
Oh, they're about to have cap hits upwards to 50 to 60 mil in the next few years. So yeah, that's going to hurt if they don't get better.
It's going to be very bad. It's going to be very bad for them. But anyways, I would take the pay cut just so I get the Super Bowl.
Yeah, here's the thing. I think it's easy to say that, but if you think about this, like if you're literally at a table and you're a stud quarterback and you can sign, you know, a big deal for $30 million or you can take a pay cut, I don't know. Because if you think about how many quarterbacks are just going to get forgotten with time. Like in 20 years, as great as Drew Brees was, nobody's going to remember Drew Brees. That's just the reality. Nobody's going to like – he'll be like, you know, Johnny Unitas. Like, oh, yeah, he was good.
Yeah, I feel like he'll be how we think of, like, Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah.
Like, because Terry Bradshaw is really
He's really only in the conversation because he's in media.
Yeah, he's in media. Right? He's so big on Fox. Mm-hmm.
It's like Manning will never be forgotten. Manning will always be pretty. And, you know, obviously Brady and even probably Rodgers will be top of the conversation. But, like, Drew Brees will get forgotten. And he was a great quarterback. And he had some great teams. But he only got one ring. Mm-hmm. So, like, at what point is it, like, I can guarantee a great life for me and my family? You know, 100K a year is great, but like 20 million a year is different. Like, I can do that, or I can go for Super Bowls.
Yeah. Especially, are you done?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Let's make sure. But especially whenever you get your second contract, because that rookie contract, when you're making like $3 million a year versus your second contract where you're making anywhere between 15 to 40, like, you want to maximize your money. Like, if you're a vet on your third contract, then you might be able to take a pay cut because, like, let's say you're with the team and you've already made about, like, $50+ million. And maybe, like, you're like, well, I'm 31, you know, I kind of really want a Super Bowl. Then I think there's a good chance where you take a pay cut.
Yeah.
But for your
– young?
Yeah.
Get those dollar bill signs
exactly.
In your eyes?
That second contract is officially when you've made it. And that means everything to some of these guys. So I feel like for the older guys, yes, pay cuts they would be fine with. But for the younger guys, like, getting your second contract is like your biggest accomplishment you can do in the NFL.
That's a good point. I was thinking about it from a veteran's perspective. From a rookie perspective, you got to chase the bag.
Yeah,
that is a good point.
Yeah, if you're Jason Kelce, I think you're fine. You know, especially with his podcast with Travis, that's doing so well right now.
Yeah.
So they'll get a massive deal, and they'll be able to make money way past football.
Here's the thing too, like, you could live on, if you're living by yourself, you could live on $50K a year.
Yeah.
With like the resources you get with the NFL team, and live a pretty great life, and still be a great player. You know, it's just all perspective.
Yeah.
That is true. It is all perspective. One prediction that I think actually did hit is your prediction. And it was fourth quarter, last 10 minutes, Chiefs score 14 or less. Technically, they may have scored 14 or less.
Yes.
So here's the thing.
So that's the only correct prediction out of everything except the winner.
It went from 21-27 at the end of the third quarter to The Chiefs scored a touchdown at 12 minutes and 4 seconds, making it 28-27. Yeah. The Chiefs score again to make it 35, and then they scored 3.
That's awesome.
They scored 10.
Yes, sir. I'm a genius.
You also said Hurts goes for 100-plus rushing yards. That did not hit, unfortunately. That did not hit, unfortunately.
But the thing is, the Super Bowl record was 64 by Steve McNair.
And he hit 70.
Go Titans. And, yeah, Jalen hit 70, which is crazy that Steve McNair hit that hit that back in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So
that is crazy.
So rest in peace, legend. He would have turned, actually, 50 today. So
if you count rushing yards behind the line of scrimmage, I think Patrick Mahomes has that record locked up.
Oh,
yeah. It was
499.
Yeah. Dude, that was insane.
Yeah.
It was insane. Another one that almost hit was yours, Elliot, again. Halftime 24-7, it was 24-14.
That was pretty good. Halftime, I was feeling pretty good about my prediction.
Yeah.
I thought the Eagles were going to punch it in before the half and it'd be 28-14. Mm-hmm. Would make me feel a little bit better. But had they continued on that path, it would have been like an Eagles blowout kind of narrative.
Yeah.
That just didn't happen.
Well, none of mine hit. I said Jalen 300. Well, actually, Jalen did have 300-plus touchdowns or yards.
300-plus touchdowns.
Sorry.
That's a lot of touchdowns.
300-plus yards, all-purpose yards. That did hit. One interception didn't hit. And one touchdown before the half. That didn't hit at all. Well, actually, yeah, that did. Sorry. I don't know why I said that one didn't hit. But the one interception didn't hit. The fumble, if I would have guessed fumble, that would have hit. Mahomes 300-plus didn't hit. Devontae with 3 touchdowns, that didn't hit at all.
You said
that
3 touchdowns?
That was my shot in the dark. I was like, okay, I think Devontae's going to have three touchdowns because my thinking was Andy Reid's going to focus on A.J. Brown because he's a speedster,
yeah,
and he's going to forget about Devontae.
Also, A.J. Brown did nothing in the playoffs really up until this game. AJ had did he have 100?
He had 96.
He had 96,
one
yeah,
touchdown.
And the entire playoffs he had like 60 yards.
And it's actually kind of crazy because Devontae and A.J. Brown both had a long of 45. Both their longest catch was 45 yards, and that was cool. They also had the average of 16 for A.J. Brown and 14.3 for Devontae. And Devontae had one more target and one more reception than A.J. Brown did, but they both had similar stats. So I think that was kind of cool.
Yeah. And, I mean, the Eagles had to get Zach Pascal and Quez Watkins involved a little bit just because their attention was so garnered towards the two. And
oh, yeah.
Jalen was able to run free, but, like, in the fourth quarter, they were spying him a little bit harder, so he wasn't able to get all those big rushes. But
yeah, I noticed that. There were quite a few where he was stopped, like, at the line.
Yeah, because they would send, like, the middle linebacker, like, to be the spy just because they knew how much they were getting torched in the first half.
Right.
So but I was thinking that we kind of talk about Patrick Mahomes. I actually watched a clip from the podcast that you're in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was, you're talking about the baby goat case. And I was like, yes, hey, you put Mahomes and goat in the same sense. I'll give it to him. But as of right now, Mahomes.
You have the clip to play?
What?
You have the clip to play?
I'll have to go back to it. But
You're in a podcast, yeah, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, yeah. His podcast has, like, they do, like, Instagram shorts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, what?
Yeah.
I don't do that. I just talk on a podcast, yeah, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, what is it? Shout it out real quick.
It's the House Call Podcast. I don't know what the actual exact
Are those
IG
your buddies from back home?
The no, House I Call actually Podcast. I back like way back like a year, the start of last NFL season, I just started following a bunch of Patriots accounts.
Yeah.
And there was this one that's like the Patriots, but you replace one T with a 7 or something, and it's like he's really a lot of followers because it's like close to the main name, and
yeah,
he just was like, hey, we're starting a podcast, you know, let me know if you want to be guest, because they had just started. I was like, hey, I'll be a guest. And I was guest like episode 4, and then they're like, hey, you were really good, why don't you just come on? And I was like, ah,
that's cool. Sick, that's awesome.
So I've known, and it's episode like 70 something now, so
yeah,
just go home.
But pretty much,
yeah, sorry, football.
Football. We love football. But pretty much,
it's okay. You can shout it out. It's okay.
Yeah, but
the House Call Podcast. Look him up on Instagram.
Yeah. But Patrick Mahomes, 27 years old, and this is, look at this list. He's massive. So his career highlights and awards, this is straight off the Wikipedia page. But he's a 2-time Super Bowl champion, 2-time Super Bowl MVP, 2-time regular season MVP, a 3-time All-Pro, that was twice first team, 5-time Pro Bowler, and 2-time NFL passing touchdowns leader. I mean, it just goes on and on. His career passer rating is 105.7, and his career playoff passer rating is 107.4. Wow. So, and he has the record for total yards by quarterback in a season, 5,614. And that was this past year.
I just want to bring this up real quick. Chris Jones didn't have a single sack that entire game.
There was only one sack, and it was by the Chiefs.
Yep.
So that's pretty good.
Leo Chanel. And Cole, I don't know how to say that. Sanders. Kalant? I don't know. But yeah, there's only one sack. That's incredible. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, Mahomes equals GOAT. That's just the bottom line.
I mean, we talk about this. This is like the best resume of any the first 5 years in a career that you could have ever asked for. I mean, it's absolutely absurd what he has been able to do. I think you got to give a lot of credit to Andy Reid. I mean, if we look at Andy Reid's track record, he was on the offensive staff whenever Brett Favre was in his prime, mm-hmm. because he had a very up and down career. He was behind the resurgence of Michael Vick, and now he has the quarterback who is looking to be the GOAT by the end of this.
Mm-hmm.
I can confidently say that. It's just he's on another level, and it's something that we've never seen before. We've never seen a guy just truly be able to do everything on the football field, and it doesn't matter what you do. It's very, very hard to beat him. He's only lost once in the Super Bowl, and that was to an amazing Buccaneers roster, an amazing Brady performance. But
and the GOAT. Just saying. That will be big, I think, actually. That head-to-head piece will be big.
I think we're
talking GOAT later on.
I think we'll be big, but just because it was so early in his career, I think he'll be able to, you know, I think people will be like, you know what, like this game, he was running for his life. It was really early, and I think his resume at the end of the career will be able to overcome that. But we'll just have to see. We'll have to see what the Chiefs will do. I mean, this team winning with, like, Juju as your best wide receiver is, like, that is crazy. Juju, MVS, Kadarius Toney, McCole Hardman, who wasn't even active for the game.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah Pacheco.
Sky Moore.
Isaiah Pacheco, seventh-round rookie. And, I mean, Kelsey, who's, like, 34 but still amazing. And he's just cooking, and you can't stop him, and it is just unprecedented levels of, like, athletic feat that I have ever seen in sports, and I think he has very much the baby goat as of right now, and I mean, I have him as number two all-time.
Yeah, it's still ridiculous.
Wait, who's your number one all-time? Aaron Rodgers?
Rodgers, yeah. But I think right now, even just, like objectively speaking, I think casually speaking, I think he has to be at least top five all time already.
Oh, 100%.
So
we'll see. Yeah. I think he has had an impressive start to his career, and I will give you, he's doing things as a quarterback that we have not really seen before. But there's a piece of that where to be the GOAT, to be in that top five, you have to have longevity.
Yeah.
And there have been some great 5-year quarterback stretches and guys who just don't make that conversation.
Say Brett Favre is a prime example.
Yeah.
So
what about the GOAT running back debate with Bo Jackson? I think it's easy to say that Bo Jackson's the most talented running back we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
But talented. Is he the GOAT? I mean, he only had, like, what, 2 seasons in the NFL? Then he got hurt with his ankle?
And he went to the – didn't he go to the USFL? Like the original USFL?
I don't know. I never watched that one.
I don't think he did.
Mahomes.
You're not 8.
Yeah, probably. I was like -3.
No.
Mahomes' play style, there's no way he can do it at 45.
Yeah.
That's the problem. I just think he will lose some longevity. And maybe he plays till 35 and he has a great career. Maybe he plays till 38 and he has a great career. And he gets 4 rings or something. He's just not there. He's just not in that. He's not in that GOAT spot.
I see. Yeah.
So that's my biggest. But, you know, I mean, look at, like, the GOAT wide receiver conversation. Randy Moss was incredible. But Jerry Rice is pretty unanimously the GOAT because how long he did it.
Yeah.
Mm.
And how well he did it for how long.
Yeah, that's and also, part. Like, I mean, Jerry Rice is, like, has pretty much the case for, like, the best NFL player because, like, he had a 1,400-yard season at 39 and a 1,200-yard season at 40. And, like, you know, when you are the guy that is doing the running, making the plays, you're not the guy that's protected by 5 guys, like, you are
Burgers.
But I think Jerry Rice's longevity is like it's so so hard to explain like how just insane that is, mm-hmm. especially at being a wide receiver when you start breaking down, like breaking down hard in your early 30s.
Very true.
Yep.
I mean, my point of bringing up Bo Jackson was though injuries. Do injuries? Do injuries matter? Basically.
Yeah, I think they do.
I think his sample size is so small to where you can't put him up there. Like I don't even have him in my top five.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But his sample size is like too small. I would have to say
it's four seasons with a total of 10, 20, 38 games.
Yeah, it's just you can't be in top five after that much, you know.
Yeah, and I think very for quarterback. True. You can't be top five after 10 years. Like you got to go a little bit more before you got that potential goat resume.
I see it.
So that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah.
But Mahomes is doing some great stuff.
I'm very glad that he's in the NFL. This quarterback age is just absolutely amazing, and we have so many guys that haven't even been proven yet. Like I mean, I'm looking primarily at Herbert,
Trevor Lawrence,
T-Law. Lamar, I mean, he's been pretty much dead for the past 2 years, and he's a free agent, so seeing where he's going to go.
Right.
A lot of young guys. I mean, Burrow still has a lot of room to improve, especially being a playoff QB.
Right.
So
Josh Allen, honestly, still relatively unproven.
Yeah.
Oh, Lamar Jackson?
Yeah.
They're
Kyler. So
they're slating that Lamar Jackson might be traded to the Falcons or the Dolphins.
Dolphins.
Yes.
I like it. They would trade
away Tua and a pick for Lamar Jackson.
You'd have to do Tua and two first to get Lamar. But
here's the thing. To get MVP Lamar, yes. But to get Lamar who's been injured for 2 years?
Very true.
It's a different element.
But in my opinion, Lamar hasn't proven himself since his injuries yet.
Well, I mean, he hasn't been able to.
Right.
So.
Well, yeah, that's comes with the territory.
Yeah.
But Tua has proven himself since his injuries at Alabama and since – not necessarily since his concussions, but basically two quarterbacks are severely injured. Well, I don't want to say severely injured, but that have a history of injuries. Two quarterbacks that have a history of injuries. One is a running back that can throw the ball very efficiently. One is a pocket passer. Which one do you want? I mean, do they want to completely rebuild their team and go with Tua and trade away Lamar for some picks? Or do they want to pay Lamar and get him some receiver help?
I mean, if I'm the Ravens, I don't even take Tua. I would try to trade him off and take Anthony Richardson because that is the prototype that you want. And I feel like with Lamar, like with Anthony Richardson, yes, Lamar is by far the better guy you want. But Anthony Richardson, if he's developed, I feel like he can be so much better than Lamar in the sense that he has that running upside, but he also has one of the best arms you'll ever see. But that's just if he reaches like his 90 to 100% potential, and which we just don't know because he's so inconsistent. So, but
well, the trade projection that I saw with the Falcons was 3 first round picks.
I mean, thing is, it's like the Falcons, I think they need more, but they do also have a bunch of offensive weapons that they need to start using, like especially with Kyle Pitts, Drake London.
Mm-hmm.
So, them being a bit disappointing this year. So, I think to the Falcons would be a lot of fun to watch.
I don't think they need to go for Lamar. Would they be fun? Yes. That would be like having Michael Vick back. It would be so fun to watch. But I don't think they need to trade for Lamar because they need those 3 first-round picks.
Yeah, I think they need to get better for
sure. First-round picks for the maybe this season, next season, whenever they are, or next draft, whatever. They need those picks for their defense because their defense is really bad.
Yeah, and they have a whole lot of cap space to work with as well.
Exactly. So they can sign some guys that maybe the Eagles are going to let go. Maybe. Who knows? We will find out. But how do you guys feel about Derek Carr getting released by the Raiders instead of getting traded or anything like that?
I don't know. I don't know if he will be a successful quarterback.
I don't know if anybody's going to sign him.
Well, someone will sign
him. Someone will definitely sign him. I mean, right now the mix is like the favorites are like the Saints and the Panthers. I was sad to hear that there's rumors that the Titans are interested.
Who do you want for quarterback?
Huh?
Who would you want for the quarterback?
For the starting quarterback?
In Titans.
Of the Titans?
Yeah.
Week one?
Yeah. Who would you want?
Malik Willis.
Okay. So you don't want them to make any free agent signs at quarterback?
No. Take your high upside rookie. Just let him either be horrible into getting Caleb Williams, or let him show actual potential in
Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Like, is that what I'm thinking of?
Yeah, USC QB.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking
Spencer Williams.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah. Spencer
whoa.
Williams sucks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let Malik either just be bad this year and you can get Caleb Williams or Drake May with the top pick, or he actually develops and you can ride along with him and use – you'll probably still get a top 10 pick, but if he shows promise, you can just keep Malik Willis, and he's cheap. So I still have belief in Malik Willis. I'm hopeful, but I don't expect him to be good.
Mm-hmm.
How old
is Derrick Henry? Is he 30 something?
He's 29. He turns 30 next season.
Oh, okay.
So yeah.
Okay, so he'll be there for a little bit longer.
Yeah. So I think if for the Saints and for the Panthers, it just doesn't make sense to get Derek Carr. I mean, I would say more sense for the Panthers than the Saints. The Saints need to rebuild, and it really pains me that they just have no aspiration to. They have so many old guys that they can ship off for picks. They have so many valuable assets, and they just don't want to get rid of them because they have post-Drew Brees, fatigue.
Yeah.
It's like they're still in a hangover from not having Drew Brees, and they want to be good, and they just need to accept that they're bad.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Elliot, what do you think the Patriots need to do now that we heard what the Titans need to do?
I don't know. Honestly, I think
fire Belichick.
Hit on a wide receiver in the draft.
That's it. I think that's the big one.
Yeah.
We've kind of gotten ourselves in a situation where, I don't know, maybe Mac Jones will be good, maybe he won't. Last season certainly wasn't impressive. Was it all his fault? Probably not, but he's not like a big athletic talent that's going to turn around the franchise. But, you know, some combination of him and Zappe will be adequate for the quarterback position. We really need some receiver talent. Our defense has always been pretty solid. I don't know how many Patriots games you guys watched. I watched a lot of them. It was terrible.
They were very boring. I mean, very boring.
Yeah, it was like excruciatingly painful to watch an offense go like three and out, three and out, three and out, first down, fourth down. Like that's how it felt.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, I don't know how much that was Matt Patricia, because obviously he didn't do the best job. And other defense coordinators said that he called it like a former defense coordinator would call a game, right? Just try to run clock. And, I don't know, get time from your defense, but it just didn't work.
What pick do they have this year?
I'm not sure.
I think it's 15.
15?
15, yeah.
I've definitely seen someone.
Yeah, I've seen mocks with Jackson Smith and Jigba, the Ohio State wide receiver.
I would love that.
I've seen Quinn and Johnson. I've also seen Brian Branch. Mm. Brian Branch is the most underrated prospect in that scouts love Brian Branch. On most mock websites, which really go off of what scouts are saying right now, he's like the 10th best player in the draft. But he's a safety, so his value is a little bit lower. Mm-hmm. Like Kyle Hamilton was, like, in my opinion, the best player of the draft last year, but he went at 14 just because it's a safety position, which doesn't matter as much as Sauce Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
I think if y'all went, I really want to see y'all go with wide receiver just because I think Jackson Smith and Jigba is going to be really good for y'all. Y'all haven't hit on a wide receiver in, like, what, the past 15 years?
Preaching the choir there, my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's N'Keal
Harry. We all haven't needed to hit on a wide receiver in the past 15
but
years.
But N'Keal Harry was such a disappointment. He had his upside, his college tape at ASU was absolutely amazing. And I was watching some old Dynasty mocks for 2019 whenever they drafted N'Keal Harry. And he was taken with either like the first or second pick in rookie drafts. He was, because he was just that amazing in college. It just did not transition.
Mm.
I will say this. I think the system QB arguments, I think, are BS. But the offensive plan over 20 years are probably a big reason why Brady had so many rings. And combined with Brady taking pay cuts, Belichick's approach to, like, okay, I know I have a great quarterback. I'm going to focus on having a good defense and a good O-line, and the receivers will figure it out.
Yeah.
That was pretty much the game plan for 20 years.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's why it worked for so long.
Yeah.
Maybe he would have had more rings than a shorter stretch. I mean, obviously not like 7 in 5 years. But
I mean, that's exactly what happened with Seattle when they went to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row. I mean, Doug Baldwin, Seattle legend. If he went on any other team, probably would not have been good. Tyler Lockett. Probably not have been good on any other team. He'd been like wide receiver 3 maybe. And then Jermaine Kearse. He left Seattle, played for like a year, 2 years, and then retired because he wasn't getting the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a good O-line and a good quarterback, you can get a lot done.
You can.
Yeah, and Belichick was one of the first guys to fully utilize the system running back community. Using 2 to 3 guys at a time. And that's what it's been. So I really love Ramondre Stevenson. He's an electric playmaker. And I think y'all should re-sign Damian Harris because you can get him on a cheap deal. And mm-hmm. I think Damian Harris is an amazing runner. It's just that he doesn't have the flashy talent that Ramondre possesses.
I agree. Yeah. Honestly, we had some online issues this year that weren't great. Yeah, I don't know. I hope we're a good team again at some point.
I hope you guys aren't good for the next 20 years.
I'm ready for the Titans rebuild. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Well, see, I think one of the teams that, and I'm obviously very biased here, ladies and gentlemen.
Seahawks.
But I think the Seahawks are probably one of the most interesting teams that you could probably watch in this offseason. They're top three. I'm not going to say they're the most because there's other teams. I'm not sure. I haven't done my research on that, to be honest with you. Okay. In my opinion, it's Seattle, the Lions, and then the Ravens.
Okay. I think I'd put the Packers up there, too, with what they're going to get out of Rodgers.
So. Yeah, I would say that's not so much. Like, we
the
know
Packers
he's not
have disappointed me.
Yeah.
We just want to know what's happening with Rodgers.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say this. The Packers have disappointed me for the last 3 years. So, you know what? I don't really care if Rodgers comes back or not. They're not doing anything. The Packers are not doing anything. The only thing they're going to be doing is packing their suitcases home because they're not going to the playoffs. Hey, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Jordan Love, man. I'm a believer in Jordan Love. Just
bro,
I love young guys. Hey, we saw one game against the Chiefs where he didn't look great, but he could have done a lot worse.
That is a good point.
So it was a close game, but what are y'all's predictions for next year? Way too early Super Bowl prediction.
It's good.
Dude, it's going to be some like off the wall. Nobody would have ever thought of it.
Because who
would have
said the Eagles last year? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess they're up and coming, but it was
not a lot
pretty,
of people. I'll tell you that because everybody was picking the Broncos to be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that didn't work.
Which is why I'm going with the Broncos again.
Who do I want?
I honestly have no idea.
Broncos are at plus, I want to say, 2,500. Which I actually like those odds a lot.
I'm saying San Francisco.
The Seahawks have amazing value for odds. They're at plus 6,000 right now.
Really?
Yes, which is slightly above the Titans.
Wow. being in the Super Bowl?
Winning the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow. That's actually not as bad as I thought.
Yeah, I was looking at all the odds
yesterday. We're one of the most interesting teams because we have a quarterback who we potentially could go with. I think Geno Smith could win a Super Bowl. I really do think he could win a Super Bowl. We just don't have receivers, and the reason I say we don't have receivers is because DK Metcalf has an anger issue problem. If you piss him off, he ain't going to do anything in the Super Bowl.
I love
DK. I'll tell you that right now. If you make him frustrated, that's why Jalen Ramsey works so well against DK is because he gets in his head, and DK can't do anything.
DK was his daddy, though, on that second game.
You got that right. You got that right.
I love
DK got into
Ramsey's
head that game. That's what made that so successful was DK got into his head, and that's when he clocked Geno and got the flag. But we have Kenneth Walker, amazing running back. Dude, I think he will be a top 5 running back by the end of his career. As far as the league goes, not like of all time, but just in the league, I think he'll be a top 5 running back.
He's going to be a top 5 fantasy back next year easily. He's
100%.
I think he's going to be like, I mean, I would definitely have him as top 5. He could definitely finish top 3.
My sneaky running back pick is going to be Damian Pierce. Running back Pierce.
You got to make sure that the Texans don't double dip in early running backs because
that would be true. The draft really does depend on what happens.
If you're a running back that's not taken in the first or second round, there's a very high chance you're going to get replaced. So
very true. But, yeah, I think Seattle, they're going to be a very interesting team to watch in the offseason. If they don't make a lot of free agency moves, I'm going to be a little upset spaghetti. I think they need to sign some guys. I really do. Some young guys. They need to take some of those Eagles guys.
Y'all got, like, what, pick 4?
5.
5?
Yes. I think we take Will.
Will Levis? Anderson.
Will Anderson. We need a –
Will Anderson's not going to fall to y'all.
I think he will. I think he falls to 5. he didn't have that good of a season this past year.
He still led the country.
He's
in
still
pressures.
Amazing.
He led the country in.
Oh, don't
in
get
pressures.
Me wrong.
It wasn't amazing.
He just didn't put up.
It was a great season. It's just that it wasn't immortal God like
it
he was last
flashy.
Year.
It wasn't really flashy.
Well, because everybody
he
schemed
did his
around
job,
him.
Though.
Everybody double teamed him because they didn't do that last
year.
Because they didn't know how good he was.
And that's what I'm saying is people are going to look. Scouts are going to look at that and they're going to go, "Oh, he didn't put up." Impressive, very impressive numbers. If you don't look at the stats,
scouts look at tape. They don't look at
yeah.
Numbers.
Very true. That's a good
scouts
point.
Scouts go off like purely like 90% tape, and like production does matter. But like seeing Zay Flowers being mocked in the first, even though he only had one 1,000-yard season at Boston College, scouts like the tape. They like what they saw with him.
Very true.
So,
well, realistically, who would take him above? Who has the number one pick?
Bears could very much take him if they don't trade.
I think Bears trade down. Who has a second pick?
Texans
need a quarterback.
But
they're going to take Bryce.
But the thing is, if the Bears trade out, probably going to trade to the Colts, and the Colts are probably going to take Bryce. So if you're the Texans, at that point, do you take Stroud, or do you think there's not that much of a difference between Stroud and Levis? And you just wait and suck again and take Caleb Williams, who's a surefire prospect already.
That's a good point, but my point still stands, though. First overall, Bryce. Because Bears trade down, Colts, Bryce. Second, C.J. Stroud. Who has third pick?
Cardinals.
The Cardinals. They're a very interesting team. Who do they need? I think they take a wide receiver.
No, the wide receiver is not going at four.
I think DeAndre Hopkins, he leaves. I think they take a wide receiver because they just lost to DeAndre.
At four?
Yeah.
Who's good enough to go
at four? I have no idea, but I think they make a dumb pick.
Well,
I really do. I think they take a dumb pick, and then five is Seattle, and we get Will. Or they just saying this so they can get Will.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seems like you are creating this on the spot so this young can get Will.
He is in the PFF mock simulator. Cardinals,
dumb pick here.
Jalen Hyatt.
Well, I have the first two picks, but I have no idea who the Cardinals are going to pick, to be honest with you.
They're probably going to take Jalen Carter.
I'm just shooting. So. I was going to say the D lineman from Georgia.
Yeah,
Jalen Carter.
It's probably going to go Bryce, Will, and then Carter, Stroud.
Interesting.
And then by the time it gets to y'all, I've seen one of y'all getting Will Levis. I've seen one of y'all getting Tyree Wilson. He's mm-hmm. the edge from Texas Tech.
Yeah.
So, and I've seen one of y'all getting Miles Murphy, which Miles Murphy is such a volatile prospect because he can either go top five or he can go bottom five of the first round. Yeah. It just depends on how scouts look at him.
Well, y'all did call my bluff. I have no idea who the Cardinals are going to pick.
Hey, it's all good. When
I was making that whole roundabout up, I was thinking I probably should have said Jalen Carter because then that would have been more believable.
I actually could see them taking a wide receiver,
but not at four.
Hey, it's draft season, though.
You never know.
It's draft season.
You literally
full
never
swing.
Know.
I'm super stoked.
Well, so. the next episode of this show, Kaysen, you will be leading it off because you're Mr. Draft Man.
Let's go, baby.
You will be hosting.
Talk
it.
About rookies.
Yeah,
love
bro.
Our rookies.
Yeah. You'll be leading. I mean, I'm excited. I want to see you spread your wings a little bit. Become a beautiful butterfly.
Yes, sir. You know
and Elliot, goes. You'll do it. You'll get one show.
Yeah.
Two shows. Right. I don't know. We're just going to mess around. Have a little fun.
Hey, super quick. Super Bowl prediction next year. I'll go first. I'm going to go AFC Chargers, NFC Niners.
Oh, gosh.
I actually agree with you on the Niners. I think the Niners are probably going to do it. They're stacked. And I also think that...
I think Trey Lance does it.
Really?
Yeah.
I would disagree. I think Brock Purdy does it.
Purdy speaks.
I don't know about the AFC. Elliot, you can start talking because I have no idea about
Niners,
the AFC.
Niners, Bills.
Yeah, that's always pretty safe. So yeah. I'm betting on the Chargers. I hope they do. I just love Herbert.
It would be cool. It would be cool. I'm obviously playing it very safe. So
yeah.
Oh, I'm going Niners Bengals.
Niners Bengals.
I like that too.
I'm going
like
Niners Bengals.
They got to get
Joe
T
Burrow
back.
Mad.
Yeah, they got to get T back though. So.
And yep, of course, true. Someone like the Bears will come in and go 17-0, and we'll know what
we'll
see coming.
My sleeper pick for next season: Detroit Lions.
Jaguars making the AFC Championship.
I think the Detroit Lions make the playoffs.
I think they beat out everyone in their division and make the playoffs.
I think the Lions are a double-digit win team next year.
What? I don't know. That's a possibility. I think 10 wins.
Seven?
I could see 10.
I'm going to say 11-6. They win the NFC North.
Wow.
So I could see 10 wins.
That would be impressive.
So I'm excited.
That would be very impressive. Elliot, who's your sleeper team?
Sleeper team.
The Patriots.
Patriots, there we go.
I knew it.
You
knew
never
it.
Know, baby.
I knew it. Well, all right, ladies and gentlemen, join us next week when Kaysen knocks us off. We'll see what happens. Appreciate y'all listening. See ya.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.